doesn't matter. So we have our solar instance. And that's basically all the bigger text, please. Oh dear. Okay, yep, I will do bigger text as well. How do I do that? I think I can do it here. 20. Guardian. That's better. The other one is just solar. Okay. I draw some arrows and some points and so on. So the Guardian is basically connected, or part of the Guardian is the solar database. And as you know, when you run the Guardian, it will start, hey, I'm starting solar and stuff like that. On solar, we have so-called collections. And I don't need to do it for all of them. So we have a collection, let's say it's collection one, and then it's 1-1. So that's that part, and then we have collection 1_2. And we have on this one collection 1_3. I should also write 3. And that's collection 1_4. And that would be collection 2_1. And so on. And you get the point, I hope. 2_2. 2_3. 2_4. So this 1_1, 1_2, 1_3, and 1_4 is that are single shards, and that these four shards make up one collection. It's basically one database, and this database is split into four parts, and that's why you have this _1, 2, 3, 4. The other one is the same. It's a database. It's collection 2 is the database. And we have four shards where we have that running on four different systems. We can go further here. Yes. So now these four guardians, and that's also the challenge that we now have solved. Imagine these guardians are... Most of them are very close to each other, but some of them not. So let's say we have between this guy and this guy. And can I do it like that? This guy and... Oh, that was wrong. That's how it works. Okay. This guy and this guy. And this guy and this guy. Oh, I like it. They talk to each other, right? And now imagine you have something like 15 milliseconds between this guy. And then you're on the other connection, you have maybe 12 milliseconds. And now on this connection, you have 125 milliseconds, which is not a lot. So that means from a location point, these three are in the same location. Or similar location, similar region. And now we have one that is outside of this region for whatever reason, it's somewhere else. The problem on that is if this fourth one wouldn't be there, the average latency would be somewhere around, 12, 13 milliseconds, and it would be very fast. It would be very fast for queries. It would be very fast for everything it does, because it has a very low latency. Now, what we had, and that's why we had to change our design, is we had some guardians that were somewhere in the realm of 120, 200, or even 300 milliseconds. And that would mean the entire cluster is now slowed down in all the tasks that they do. And that's by 5, 6, 7, 8 times slower, or by 8-fold slower. So, and that's something we have identified end of last year, where we said, okay, well, we need to find a solution for that, because that's something we can't, we don't want to have. It, you know, once we have the shards or the collection and the shards and everything set up, it's really a lot of manual work to move this one now. So if I want to get rid of this one, it's not that easy. And it's a lot of manual work. So what we had to do is we had to now to identify or create a process that will make sure in the beginning, before the Guardian joins the TAP network and during the time to check it, where is this Guardian located? So, and that's what we basically do. What we do now is, I can do it larger. Can I? For sure. That one. Okay, so I can go back. As you know, we have our coordinators. Coordinator is a vital part of the TAP network because it coordinates, as the name says. So what the coordinator now does is, let's say we have a new guardian that comes on board. The coordinators are run by Timpy at the moment, but they will be run by the community as well. We do it step by step, right? The next one that will be released to the community is basically the GeoCore. And then we have the Syn controller, which is a new node that we have for Synaptron. And the coordinators are run by us. So the coordinator now, when a Guardian is switched on in the new process, not how it is right now, but when we push out the update, and that's what we have been working on over the last couple of weeks, and that's why you haven't seen a Guardian utilizing storage, because we can't utilize the storage. We utilize it. We have a few nodes where we do testing and stuff like that. So we are utilizing some of the Guardians, but it's not a lot. And the reason is behind it is if we would utilize a lot of storage right now, that would mean we would need to clean up a lot of stuff once we release the new version of how the Guardian is joining the network. And that's something we want to prevent. So instead of doing a lot of cleanup and basically writing another application or parts of the application that does the cleanup, we rather say, okay, we don't utilize most of the Guardians right now, because we know what we have to do in order to make it right. So what we do now is when the Guardian comes on board, the Guardian will basically talk to any of the coordinators and will say, hey, I'm here. That is my external IP address. That's my port. Blah, blah, blah. The whole shebang. No? That's my key and or my GUI and stuff like that. The coordinator says then, okay, that's pretty cool. It reports back to the Guardian and tells the Guardian, hey, can you please, why is it, oh no, in a different color, okay. It tells the Guardian, can you please connect to this one and this one as well, so we can triangulate you. So that means we have coordinators in all regions, and we will test out initially, and what region is this Guardian in? So is it the North American, is it the EMEA or European cluster, or is it the APEC cluster, and so on. So we determine that, and we determine that by latency. So we are measuring the latency from the coordinator to the Guardian to see where it is closest to. And once we have figured that out, we will then assign the guardian to the right region, and then it will connect to the zookeeper of this region, and then it will connect to the coordinators in this region, and it will enter the network, basically. But then we know already in what region is it. So we can guarantee that this, with 125 milliseconds, will not happen. Obviously, there are always, as we're talking about the internet, there will always be times where the latency is a little bit higher or latency is a little bit lower and stuff like that. So that's normal. But what we want to prevent and what we have to prevent is if your guardian is running in Europe, we don't want to assign it a North American cluster or to the North American cluster, because that would always have a latency of about 150 to 190 milliseconds. So that's something we don't want to do. We want to make sure that if your guardian is running in Europe, then you will be assigned to a European cluster or to the EMEA cluster for that matter. And if you run in North America, you will be assigned to that. If you run something in Australia, you will be assigned to the APEC. So that makes sure that we have the lowest possible latency. If your guardian changes it at some point, so if you move your guardian from one data center to another data center, then we will, or the TAP network will basically know that, because it does randomly check it from time to time again, and you will be reassigned into a different region. You can even do it with a new update. You could even do it manually via your node management portal. So if you want to be, if you want to take care of yourself, if you say, hey, I want to move my guardian from A to B, which is no problem, then you can go onto your node management and can say, okay, hey, I'm moving it from this region to this region, and you can let us know upfront, or let the network know upfront. So we will basically start the migration process, because there is a migration process. If a guardian moves, we will remove the collections it has right now, and we'll give it new collection that fits to the region. So if you move from European or EMEA cluster to a North American cluster, we will basically remove the EMEA data from it. Remember, we have several copies anyway, so there's no data loss. And we will feed it with a North American collection, so you will get the new data. That's a process that is relatively straightforward and quite quickly. VPNs do hurt the system, yes. So if you come from a VPN, but a VPN is on a Guardian, why should you use a VPN? You could use a VPN, but it would still we would still measure the latency. So it doesn't hurt it; it just slows us down. So basically, when we do the triangulation via a VPN tunnel, you will have automatically a higher latency, and you will be somewhere closer you will be assigned to some region. The challenge on ours is if you have a changing, then it gets complicated and you might not fit into any of the clusters because you are moving too fast. And that would be noticed by the system, and you would be taken out of the production network into the test network. So that is basically our step where we can say, well, if it doesn't fit into our production network because it's too flaky or it's too random and too often changing, it's not an issue. We do have a large test network as well, so you will be moved into the test network. It has no effect on your rewards. So there's, don't be concerned about that. It has no effect on your rewards. It's just from us. We only take for the production network, we only take the nodes that are stable and stuff like that. But if you're not stable or if you move a lot, then it's no issue. We can move you into a test network, because we do run several test networks in parallel to test algorithms, to test indexing and stuff like that. So it's not one big thing. Thanks, Enable. It's not one big thing that we work on. We have several instances or several clusters. that is utilized to test new configurations. It's again, don't see it. So the Guardian, the entire storage, you can't see it as, hey, we do it now and we don't touch it ever again. Google is adjusting its algorithms several times per day. And that's the same what we have to do as well, and what we are doing, basically. So we have several test networks. It has real data. It gets a copy of parts of the data. And we will run our adjustments in our schema files, our adjustments in our processes, run it through and measure the performance. So there is there are automation applications you can utilize that has a standardized search query, for example. And you run these through your test environments to measure the performance. And this performance is not only for the first time search, but also what about the caching? So we do utilize caching. You will notice that when you go, and I don't know, some of you might have tried the alpha version when we had that live. When you tried a search query the first time, it took a relatively long. And then if you did the same search query again, it goes very quickly. And that's our internal cache. So we have caching, obviously. This caching can be fine-tuned in terms of life cycle. What is it we want to cache? How much is the cache? How fast or how large is the cache? Is the cache distributed? Blah, blah, blah. So that's all things that goes in, you know, in the back end. So it's not for the ones who have maybe set up a database at some point, you know, SQL database, MySQL database or anything like that. It's not that simple, unfortunately, because we have a lot of moving parts. And what we need to ensure is, remember this picture here where I say 125 milliseconds. Now, you might think 125 milliseconds is, you know, it's not a lot. It's basically an eighth of a second. Bloody hell, it's blimming fast. However, if you compare it with 12 milliseconds, it's 10 times slower than the 12 milliseconds. So if you do a query, it's 10 times slower. And that's what we need to prevent. And that's why we did the complete rebuild. So what we end up is with, we have regions identified, we have sub-regions identified, and each of those regions are basically independent from each other. That makes it a lot faster, makes it more redundant. And the TAP network is making sure that the guardians are assigned to the right network. But also, if we need storage or if we need more in one certain region, we will basically advertise, or the network will advertise, hey, we need more guardians in this region. And if you come into this region, you might get even a bonus for a short period of time. So that means, let's assume we have a lot of guardians in EMEA, but we don't have enough in North America. So what our network is capable of doing is it can release NFTs, access NFTs. You can buy an access NFT for Guardian, as you know. But then it can also give you a 10% reward if you are in this region for a short period of time. So if you join as a new Guardian in this region, you will get a bonus over a period of time. So that can help us to grow the network where it is needed. Long story. Questions?
I think it's a fabulous explanation of the current situation, to be fair. So it gives a deeper understanding as to the complexities and the requirements of what you've had to redo and rebuild, hence the reason the Guardian node set hasn't been utilized to its capacity at this point in time. There has been some questions. I think you've answered the bit about Kitty was asking, will there be location-based rewards? So you've just covered that, specifics regarding geographic locations and the requirements for nodes to be established to help with latency. Nick has asked, do VPNs hurt the system?
Yep, I went into that. It doesn't hurt. System, but you have the challenge of if your VPN is outside of any of the regions, you will end up in the test network. As I said, it's not from your rewards. Don't worry. It has nothing to do with your rewards. You will still get your rewards as a normal production network. It has nothing to do with it. It's just the data that your guardian will hold is test data. Which is fine. We do need a test network anyway, so it's all good. So yes, but VPN, I would not recommend VPN. I wouldn't see the reason for using VPN for the Guardian. There's no security concern utilizing VPN. VPN doesn't give you any benefits. Not really. Not really.
Is there a, Antonio is asking, is there a tool that checks the node and fixes it when it's not online, like what he has with some other node projects, for example, Flux or Storage Chain?
Checks the node and fixes it is when it is not online, like what we have some other nodes projects. So, yes, there will be, it's basically the Guardian itself. They are, okay, let me to go back. When you start the Docker container as a service, your Linux system will monitor the Docker container and will make sure the Docker container is running. Once the Docker container is running, the services within the Docker container are also, or the applications within the Docker container are also services. So they will also always run. So there is no, I need to manually have another application that restarts something. Obviously, it can always, in rare cases, it can happen that it really, you know, hangs up and doesn't do anything. But it's relatively rare that the Guardian is just stopped doing anything. But you can measure, and we measure the uptime, and you can go onto the management platform and see if your node is online. As you know, Kyle, we have that on the admin management platform. You can see if the node is online. You can test it with a button click and can see, hey, yeah, it's online. So that's what we already have. What we have added to it with a new update is you can remotely restart your application. So you can remotely restart the Guardian application itself. As long as it responds in some way, it will do the restart. That's no problem. We can also restart the Solar instance in the backend from the Guardian remotely. That's also no problem. The user can do that. So that's, yes. I hope that helps.
Yeah, very good. And I think the boys have been given a bit of extra support with that question as well in the chat here. So, thank you, Mustingo. There is a lot going on within the project in the background. A lot of it has no requirement to be spoken about because it's just the development of the project. But it gives some context to the community to hear the complexity and the ongoing development of, you know, what has been established and what we are, you know, continuing to build. So we appreciate
we haven't been on holiday, and that was that is not the reason that we have been on holiday, so you didn't see an upgrade on the Guardian. It was basically a redesign of the entire communication protocol because of the experience that we have gained. It is expected. It is what it is. If you try something that hasn't been done before, you try and fail, and then you move on with your experience and you make it better. It's a normal process, and it would have been nice to not do that, obviously, but we are in territory that hasn't been done this way before. We have engaged with Solar itself. We have engaged with experts. We have engaged with a with a company from the UK, for example. I had many meetings with them. They have been very helpful. And when I asked, say, do you know anyone who can basically work for us? He said, I know of only two people in the world who can actually help you efficiently with that, because they have experience, sort of experience with what you're trying to do. So it is challenging because if you ask around, well, yes, Solar is used everywhere, and a lot of companies use large Solar deployments. Don't get me wrong, but using a large Solar deployment within the data center is easy as. Sorry, but it is relatively easy. You have a latency of a millisecond. You have fiber between all the nodes. Yeah, of course it runs very well. I can spin off 300 nodes, Solar nodes, and can say, yay, they are sitting all in the same data center, or they are sitting in the neighborhood data center and they have a latency of 2 milliseconds. No issue. But what we have is we have unreliable internet connections from people that run our nodes on unknown systems. So we only know it's a Docker container. We don't know a lot of details. We don't know, and we don't enforce a lot of things that you have to have. You don't have to have a fiber connectivity. You don't have to have a lot of stuff that we that normally someone would expect. So we need to cater for all these variables and need to make sure it still runs very fast. So remember, it comes all back to when you go onto timpy.com and search for something, the user doesn't care how complicated it was to store